Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Greetings, I'm Deirdre Schuler on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And today I'll be talking with three-time Grammy Award winners, two-time American Music Award winners, an NAACP Image Award, and a BET Award winner. Mary Mary is an American gospel music duo comprised of sisters Erica and Tina Campbell. The ladies stepped onto the music scene in a big way in 2000, where just as Kirk Franklin did, they helped popularize urban contemporary gospel. Mary Mary began to attract a wider, younger audience due to their hipper gospel sound, and this is demonstrated throughout the sisters' new release, which is called Something Big, and the CD is flavored with soul, hip-hop, funk, and praise. Songs like Walking, Survive, Blind, and Something Big are examples of songs that find even God snapping fingers and shaking mighty thunderous booty. Something Big is a tide and a wonderful music offering. The Thankful album went platinum, incredible, and their album Mary Mary went gold and charted number one on the Billboard Top Gospel Albums. These Grammy winners grew up in Inglewood, California, to a large family. And in fact, their sisters Thomasina and Elena sometimes sing backup for their big sisters. Mary Mary will be making an exclusive New York appearance at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts in the Bronx on Sunday, October 9th at 7 p.m. And they have joined me today on my show, Topically Yours, to talk about their Sunday performance, wherein they will share the stage with the gospel group Jubilation, who also won a Grammy Award in 2010. Well, I have Erica and Tina Campbell with me, so let's welcome them to the show. How are you, ladies?
We are good. How are you?
Doing well.
Very well. Thank you. You know, your CD, The Sound, was released in 2008, and that got a Grammy for its record-breaking hit, God and Me. And Shackles, which I just played, was a chart topper. And now your latest CD, Something Big, is debuted at number 10 on the Billboard Top 200 album charts. And I understand that immediately shot up to the top of the iTunes R&B albums chart as well. So it seems that you've had your share of success. But looking at your success, what is your greatest reward, do you feel?
The greatest reward, this is Tina. The greatest reward would be just being able to have a platform to share what God gives us. We're born to be musicians. We're born to be singers and do what we do. We did it as kids in children's choir at church, and we sang at church our whole lives. We did it at home for fun. We're always given concerts. And so to become adults and to be able to do what we did for fun, which was a hobby for us, for it to be our job and what we could be able to offer it to the world and hear the stories of how their lives were impacted, the awards and the selling millions of records and chart positions, that's awesome. But ultimately, those stories that people tell you, that never, ever goes away. It never, ever loses its impact. So I think having this platform and just being able to affect lives in such an amazing way, biggest reward.
Well, you also came from a pretty nice-sized family. And I understand your entire family sang because your parents actually were involved in the church. Weren't they ministers or choir?
Our father was a minister, and my mom was the piano player, choir.
Well, tell me something about your background. People are always asking about that. I know.
We said, we were born and raised in church. Our parents grew up in church. They were a Christian family, and our father was a minister, and mom was over the choir and was a missionary. So we're always there. It was a lot of fun for us because we had a lot of friends there. We had a lot of youth and relevant activities going on. So we saw it as fun. Many of our friends that we went to school with and in our neighborhood were at the same church. So it was just a lot of excitement with us. And music was always the backdrop for that. We were in the kids' choir. We were in the youth choir. And then we moved on and were in choirs in high school and college. And music just kind of always surrounded us. So we grew up being in the choir. And because we have such a large family, 9 siblings, it seems like our family sometimes was the entire choir. Then we were the praise and worship team growing up. And then we began making up songs, which is what we called it. It was the beginning stages of our songwriting. And we just continued to do what we did as kids and what we did for fun. And we ended up publishing deal and eventually gaining a record deal. And we continue to do what we've done all of our lives. We just have an enlarged platform, and it all started right at home.
Well, you know, I always have my listeners asking me that same question. How does an entertainer get started? Because there's so many people that want to get into the business and they don't know how to go about it. How did it happen for you?
Everybody starts different ways. For us, we actually sang in gospel stage plays. Then we met Warren Campbell, who was our producing background around the same time. Coming really.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Are you on cell phone? Because you seem to be breaking up.
No, I'm on the house phone.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
But we started singing in stage play. Final resting home for Mary Mary became Columbia Records. But it was a really, really fast-moving story. And I think all the work that we put in before we became artists allowed us to get here. So really dedicated, focused with that. We loved what we did before anybody else. So once we became Mary Mary, it was just easier to keep going. And I think the rest was in God's hands, because some of the doors, there was no way we could open them. We didn't even know about mainstream or formats or anything like that. We just wanted to sing and share our hearts with people and connect to people like us who really enjoy good music, good God music. And we end up, 11 years later, in Mary Maryland, still well immersed in Mary Maryland.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned being background singers. Did you do background for Brandy as well?
I sang background for Brandy, yes. It wasn't a long time. I wasn't like assistant background. Warren was working with her at the time. He fell out, and he was, oh, I have this girl who can sing, and I did a few gigs with her. I sang with Brian McKnight, Adam Moore.
With Brian McKnight.
Both sang with Eric Benet.
Yeah, we both sang with Eric Benet. We toured with Eric Benet for quite some time. And we learned a lot about the business, about stage and, you know, the crew and just watching how, I think it was really a great teaching ground for me and Tina.
Now, tell me about the songs that you chose for are Something Big. Did you write some of those songs?
We wrote many of the songs on the Something Big record. I'll tell you about the process. I'd have to say our process is very organic. We don't really go into the studio agenda driven. From the beginning of time when we started writing, we just allowed what happens when we pick up a pen and paper to happen. I think when you're born and you're gifted to do something, the minute you try too hard to do it as opposed to just work at being your best, start messing it up. You know what I mean? So we don't go in thinking too hard, you know, considering too much, you know, what's on radio and what's the new feel of music and what are the agendas of labels and the industry and all that kind of stuff, because if you go in with too of that on your mind, it can pollute something that could just naturally come out amazing. So what we do is we pray. We go in, we listen to great music before we get to the studio. Sometimes we listen to great music while we're there, all kinds of different music, from country to pop to hip-hop to soul to gospel to classical to jazz. We may listen to a little bit of everything because we want to be surrounded by, you know, those who have done what we do well in their own perspective genres. So we may listen to those kind of things. And then we go in and we just listen to music and we become inspired and we start writing. The song Something Big, when we heard that track, it just came to us like immediately. I think the song was written and recorded within like 30 minutes. And that song kind of screamed, I should be the theme of the record. So everything that came after that was just basically speaking to living big, loving big, and giving big, doing something big with your life, because we represent such a big and great God. So I think that was basically the mindset going into it. Once we realized that something big thematically was what should happen, we made sure all of the music made sense with that, because we wrote countless other songs, but we selected songs that made sense with the title track. Ultimately, we just kind of, you know, surround ourselves with good music. We pray, make sure we're well-rested, not a bunch of distractions around, and we go in the studio and we make music. And Something Big, just, it's what happened when we went in this last time.
Well, I want to play, since I have your new CD, I want to play Something Bigger for the listening audience, if you ladies do not mind.
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
So here we go.
My block in here. Unplugged and I'm disconnected, cause I didn't do what y'all expected.
about the Doing Something Big campaign that you guys have going on.
Well, with this album, we wanted to challenge our viewers to do just listen to music. We wanted them to live big, love big, give big, do big. So our initial campaign was asking something for the homeless and children, schools. And
you're breaking up. You're saying something about homeless children and schools?
We asked our fans and followers to do something for the homeless, children, and for whoever they, you know, whoever they felt led to do something. They did some really fantastic prizes. We're winning CDs or music, and some of them even won a trip to come see us. We were in New York, and now we're doing a campaign for churches to go outside of their church doors and do something that really impacts their community. Something Big is not just about the music. It's about challenging people to be better, do better, live better, love better, the best of who they are.
And to help others is what you're saying,
there you
correct?
Go. That's the point. You're always being the best of who you are when you're helping someone else. So I think the give big is where we are right now. It's just encouraging people, just give. Give of your time. Give of your energy. Give of your intellect. Give of your resources. Give of your ideas and help make a difference in your community and your world.
And it's nice that you're involving young people to do that as well because they're our future.
Absolutely. And we realize that there are a lot of people who are paying attention to us. There's a lot of people who we have, you know, influence with. And if we don't use that to do something positive, then we're kind of wasting time. So, you know, not only do we want to encourage them to dance, but while we're encouraging them to do something big for the schools, maybe that will be their incentive to do better in school on their own. While we're encouraging them to do something big for the elderly, maybe that may encourage them to respect the elderly that's in their lives. You know, if we're telling them to do something big for their church, maybe they'll stop seeing their church as just this place for old people that's irrelevant and that keeps trying to make them be good when they want to be bad, you know, and maybe they'll see the fun in it and the community aspect of it and how it can be helpful. So the campaign has an immediate target, but I think it has an effect way beyond what we're actually telling people. Hopefully our fans that are a lot younger than us are paying attention and they're being impacted positively.
Exactly. As you say, what's the point of having a platform if you're not using it to help in social ways?
You got it.
Now, also, I want to mention that you guys are going to be performing at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts in the Bronx, and that's going to be on a Sunday. That's October 9th. And you're going to be sharing
we're
the
so
stage with someone's
that.
Jubilation, right? Pardon me?
Yes. We're so excited about coming and knowing Jesus and having a good time with the
The audience is into praise, and I'm sure you're going to pack the house. And you're
we
also sharing
aware.
It with Jubilation, right?
Yes, we are. We are. So you get a little bit of the spectrum as it relates to gospel. You know, the good thing about gospel music is it has so many different variations or so many different styles within the style. So you'll get traditional, and then you'll get us, whose style is a lot more contemporary. But I think it's great for someone who first of all, those who are gospel lovers, but those who also would like to have an introduction to it. You get to see that there's something for everyone. Whatever your style is, whatever your lifestyle, whatever your culture is, you can find a style in gospel music to fit that because there's so much diversity in it. So the message is universal, but the approach, you know, you can find artists that have something for you no matter what your style is. So I think the people should come out. I think they're going to enjoy it.
And that's the good thing, that a lot of people don't realize that about gospel. They see it in that traditional form.
A lot of people, you know, I think one of the things that make people stray away from gospel is they feel like you're going to preach to me and you're going to condemn me. And I personally don't feel that there is any wrong in preaching. But sometimes people are a bit apprehensive if they're not regular gospel listeners. They're apprehensive when it comes to those kind of approaches because they think that all I'm going to do is come there and realize how awful and how horrible and how wrong I am. And that we definitely don't have that kind of approach. I think that is appropriate in certain settings because, you know, you want to know how can I become better? How can I correct some of the things that are not the best for my life and they're not
what God would like. That's appropriate, but in our music, we present the love of God. We present the hope of God. We present the fact that God is a part of your life beyond your spirituality, in your relationship, in your work, in your way of thinking, in your friendships, you know, and everything that you, all of your goals and dreams, you know, God is a part of all of that. He's a part of everything that makes up your existence. And so I think when people come and they experience this, I think it's a great introduction to understanding the hope and the love of God. And then, you know, you get the traditional gospel artists that sometimes will take it even further, and then maybe some of the people in our audience will end up in a church where they can get a greater understanding. So it's our job to plant the seed. We don't know what God will do with it. We don't know what the inspiration that we bring. We never know what it will turn into. It's not really even our job to worry about that. We just know that we have been inspired, we have been loved, we have been encouraged by our faith. So that's what we put in our music, and hopefully that's what people connect with.
Well, also, don't you think in this time where everyone's afraid and losing jobs, and there's that sense that they need something, that there's something missing, that the spirituality is missing, that will give them hope and carry them through when they're feeling down and low and afraid?
Yeah, I definitely think people are a little more open to hearing the message of God, because the message of God is a message of hope. And, you know, when things are all going well for people, they don't think about it. It's terrible, but it's the truth. People are like, I'm good. I'll get back to God when I need him. But right now, everything's wonderful in my life. I got a good job. Relationship's fantastic. Everybody loves me. Everything's well. You know, but when people experience hard times, then they start realizing, I need something greater than me because what I'm doing is not working. So people are open to this message, which is perfect timing for us. We don't feel like the God we serve is a God of the down and out. The God we serve is God of the down and out, the up and out, the doing well, the not so good, the love, the unliked, the affluent, the poor. You know, this is the God of all people. And so we don't present our message in a limited way that just can reach you if your times are hard, because sometimes you have everything going for you. And if you don't know the love of Jesus, you are lacking. I don't care what you have. If you've got millions of dollars and you're completely popular and everything in your life is going well, and you still need God. So we definitely try to make sure we help people understand that through our music. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's sometimes you can sit back and just listen and observe. Sometimes you want to jump up and get involved in it. You know, we try to make sure we give a well-rounded presentation. It's very lively. If you don't feel anything at our concerts, you just might be dead. Because it's a very enjoyable setting. And sometimes people are like, can we get up and dance like this? Can we really enjoy ourselves like this? Can I stand up and move my hand along if I'm feeling this? And you are welcome to do all of that. Or if you just want to sit and observe, you can do that too. But nevertheless, it's food for your soul, and everyone needs it, high times or low times. This message is just the message of hope, of life, and love, and everybody needs to experience it.
Well, I want to tell them where they can buy tickets. Well, they can get them at the Lehman Center box office and by calling 718.
Can you say again?
They can call the Lehman Center box office to get tickets at 718-960-8833 or go online at www.lehman, and that's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, center, C-E-N-T-E-R.org. And I also wanted to say that you guys have, it's interesting that both of you are married to men named Campbell. How did that come about?
Yeah,
that's unusual.
Erica?
Purely coincidental. Tina met Teddy about 11 years, and me and my husband have been 10 years. She met Teddy, and I think got Warren like later. Really had no idea that we'd be marrying these guys.
And they're not related
that
either.
No, they're not related. Teddy,
I mean, they are
Chicago,
now.
And
I mean, now
Warren
they are
from L.A.
So, yeah, it was purely coincidental. My mom often says that we're twins born 2 years apart because there was so much in our lives that was a lot alike. Erica and I have different approaches to the same mm-hmm. thing, but our bottom line is generally the same. What we're getting at or what our answer is or what our resolve is, generally the same. So there's so much that's been similar. We both had babies around the same time. Like Erica and I think when I had my daughter's first birthday, Erica was going into
labor.
Delivery. She was going into labor there. And I got pregnant with my first son. And 6 months later, Erica was pregnant with her first son. you know, when we first moved out together, we started doing the music together. We're the two in the family that kind of have a lot of parallels in our lives. So,
isn't Erica with a child now? Are you with child now?
I am.
Congratulations.
I think my third. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's great. Well, are you guys going to go on tour after New York, or and you have a child now, so are you hanging around home closer to home, or you still out?
Oh, no, our children have been traveling with us. My daughter's first trip was to London when she was 3.5 months old. My son just came back from Charlotte, North Carolina with me. So we never really stopped working. I really, really love what I do, but I have an extremely supportive family and a great support system at home that allows me to do what I do while I still am able to be mom, you know, do iChats with our kids and make sure they do their homework and cleaning their rooms and listening to their nannies and all that good stuff and coordinating with dad their outside appointments outside of school, you know. So we, being a mother is my first priority. Very, very comes second. But it's an absolute joy. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I love what I do. I love being a mom, and I love singing.
Yeah, it helps to have a few years of experience. Initially, it was like, oh, Lord, you're trying to be a mom on the road, and you don't know which one you're being more of, the mom or the artist. But because we've done it for a while now, you know, you find a way to manage it all and make it work. And the Lehman, the concert at the Lehman Center is actually a part of our Something Big tour. We have a few other dates that we're doing, and we're presenting the Live Big, Love Big, Give Big party right on stage, bringing the whole CD to life, as well as some of our older songs. So this is a part of an ongoing tour before we start our Christmas tour, and we plan to make it real exciting for the people who come out. So I hope everybody comes out, get your ticket. It will absolutely be worth it. It'll be dollars well spent.
Wait, are you going to be doing your Christmas tour in the States or outside of the States? Or
In the States. We're doing our Christmas tour in the States. So we're preparing for that after a while. But until then, we gotta give them all of the – we got to live big, love big, give big, and do something big. Live.
Right,
and
that's what you're doing right now, something big.
That's what we're doing right now, and the Lehman Center concert is a part of that.
I just want to ask you also about your Red Cross music video, which is linked with your single Survive. Tell me about that.
Well, we have the song Survive on our CD. You know, before a lot of these disasters started happening, song that we had an artist or a writer in Chicago to submit this song to us, and we thought the song was an amazing song, so we sang it. And then once all of these disasters started happening and we were considering this song as a single, it seemed even more befitting because we wanted to be able to celebrate the people who were making it through. I mean, we were able to see all of the, you know, the newscast showing all of the devastation, and we're like, yeah, it's bad, but it's a lot of people that are making it through. There are people that are picking up what's left of their lives and moving forward and helping those who might have a worse a scenario than them, and we thought it would be important to celebrate the survivors. And of course, Red Cross is always the first on the scene whenever there's devastation, natural disasters, and things of that nature. So it seemed smart to pair up with them and to use this song as the anthem of people who are surviving, people who are overcoming, people who are making it through some of the tough times. Because sometimes the focus is the tough time, not the fact that you make it through, you overcome. Sometimes you become better or you're more strong or you're more resilient as a result. So the song Survive, along with the help of Red Cross, is just making sure the attention is on that and also encouraging people to donate to Red Cross so there is help when these times, when these natural disasters and these devastating times happen. There's help there for them, and, you know, Red Cross will help them survive, and hopefully our song will help encourage them to keep on surviving.
Well, with that,
let's just play Survive.
Any day now is what I kept telling myself on the last mile on the road to somewhere, but along the way
Children's schedules, all that kind of stuff.
Well, then I'm going to not hold you to my schedule further, although it would be lovely to talk with you more. And I want to again mention to folks that love your music that they can see you and hear you at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts, which is at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West in the Bronx. And you can go to the box office and get tickets at 718-960-8833 or go online and look up your tickets at www.lehmancenter.org. And I want to thank the ladies for coming on the show today and sharing their life, their music, and themselves.
Very
so thank
welcome.
Thank you, ladies, for coming on the show. And I'm going to play.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And it's always a pleasure to talk to such wonderful people. Here we go with Slow Walk.
Don't forget to have a blast.
need a vacation.
Boom. Yeah. Now that I got your attention, yeah. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Come on.
Enjoyed that. That's Mary Mary Something Big CD, which they released this year. So I guess you can get that on Amazon. And where else can you get it, ladies?
You can get it at iTunes.com, or you can go to mary-mary.com and get it, or you can go to Target or Walmart or Best Buy or wherever you buy your music.
All right. Well, certainly a wonderful CD, and I'm going to play one more song before I end the show. And again, I thank you ladies for coming on and sharing with us your CD and the fact that you'll be appearing at Lehman Center for the Performing Arts. Is this the first time you've been in the Bronx?
No, but I think this is the first time being at the Lehman Center, so we're excited about that. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, we're looking forward. It's a big venue as well, so... I think it's 2,200.
Awesome. But we need a lot of people to come.
Yeah, so we've got a little something in common with the choir that'll be opening up. We both performed with Queen Latifah. We were actually in the Bronx with Queen Latifah one of the last times we were there, and we completely
Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn, Tina.
Ah, sorry,
my bad.
Okay, well, slightly different, but we're so looking forward to coming. The New York energy is just amazing. At whatever city you're in, the New York energy is just always off the charts, off the hook. So. We are looking forward.
Well, the nice thing about New York is everyone's here. At least you have one of everyone here. So we're into gospel and we're into R&B and we're into jazz, and you've got it all mixed in your music. So we're looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And you're quite welcome. And this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and you've been listening to Topically Yours, and I thank my listeners for making my topic Topically Yours, as well as Erica and Tina Campbell of Mary Mary. And you know what? We're going to end the show with one I've liked in particular, and that's called Sitting With Me.
They say, there she goes, that old holy roller. Thinks she's special, someone needs to tell her that she ain't no better than me. They say she's such a geek, that old Jesus freak. Every time she opens up her mouth to speak, she's always talking about being safe and holy. That was me, Miss Unpopular. Never asked to be part of the in crowd. Everyone knew who I was, 'cause my life screamed Jesus out loud. Yeah, I've been backed up, knocked over, just to carrying the cross on my shoulder.
This is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.